Nice weather report to port to us here today, which I was glad to hear. They're being taken care of, and their rain has been caught up, all their lakes and dams and so forth. They're all got water now filled up with them, and they're in good shape for summer coming on. New England gets very, very hot there. And we know in Texas, as we heard from Mr. Fleming, the humidity that he's been fighting all week sounds like it's been pretty humid. So anyway, if that's kind of our weather report here at the end of the announcements instead of at the beginning. And with that, I do want to bring on Mr. Martinez for the sermon we're going to hear today. Carlos, I'll let you take over.
Thank you, Mr. Russell. Good afternoon, brethren, and I hope everyone is having a great and restful Sabbath so far. I know that we are here in Puerto Rico, and pray you are as well. Our weather's been very warm this week. We had a few showers come in. Last night stormed pretty good right around our house, but it's much needed rain, and any and all droughts that we were a couple of the cities were under a drought watch for the summer, but thankfully everything has been removed because of that. So we thank God for that. I do have to say before the sermon, brethren, that I'm having a little bit of a communication problem. I usually give a sermon through the cell phone, and it's not letting me, for some reason, put in the code and be able to transmit through the cell phone. So I'm actually using the home phone, and I have a second one on me as well. So I apologize if the quality is not better. I usually speak with a headset on as well. So, and I have a second phone here just in case. But God willing, the battery will last, and we're able to hear the message. So just in case. I wanted to let you know that this just happened literally about 15 minutes before the service. So Satan is always trying to make things difficult, especially before the holy day, so it's not a shocker. So, well, brethren, as you may know, we're only a few weeks until Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread. We are at a time where we are getting our homes ready by getting rid of and cleaning the leaven in our houses to commemorate the removal of sin off of our lives. Also, it is a time to meditate, reflect, and study ourselves in relation to God's Word in preparation for the spring holy days. We are almost at the end of the time between the last great day and the beginning of another year of holy days that represent the period of time where we need to be most aware of everything surrounding the world today. We see a world that is turning more and more into chaos because of the ongoing coronavirus. We read and see in the news of all the airport screenings, cruise ships being deterred away from entering ports, travel advisories from the U.S. State Department and other countries going into effect, sporting events around the world being canceled, and consequently an uneasy and spiraling down economy due to the conditions that the fear of this disease creates. Nations around the world, from the U.S., Latin America, Asia, Africa, Europe, and Australia, are attempting to quarantine people in hopes of preventing this disease from further spreading. However, this is a period of time where we need to be most prepared for what is to come and understand that this is part of what God and His prophets remind us through His Word. Now, we are all familiar with the major prophets in the Bible. We know very well the lessons and teachings from prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, Ezekiel, and so on. However, I want to focus the message for today on one of the minor prophets in the Old Testament and understand and learn how the message of this minor prophet in the Bible is incredibly important to understand because of the way we can apply this to our lives. Brethren, I am talking about Amos. I have titled today's sermon, Life Lesson from Amos. Life Lesson from Amos. We will look at the book of Amos today through the context of the message he preached, and that God specifically chose him for the message he was to give to the people of Israel. and how a message that was sent so many years ago is applicable today in our own society. We will spend the sermon on this book going back and forth throughout the different chapters, so you will want to keep a bookmark on Amos for today. First, let's look at the background of Amos through its history. Amos was a herdsman, a farmer in the land of Tekoa during the times of Uzziah, the king of Judah, and also Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. And you can find that information in Amos 1, verse 1. You don't need to turn there. Also, Amos prophesied during a time of great joy in Israel because business was great. There was a lot of trade going on. The economy, so to speak, at that time was evidently positive. And people were happy with everything they had in terms of material things and possessions. As we like to say in today's world, quote, business is good, close quote. However, beneath all of the prosperity of Israel, in those days, the hearts of the people began to turn away from God. The people began worshiping idols. Greed became a prevalent factor because apparently having all of the riches and possessions was just not enough for them in those times. Also, the people began to fend for themselves in terms of what they wanted to do with their lives. People began turning away from everything that was in Scripture and began their own religious and pagan traditions. The people of Israel were greedy, jealous of one another, filled with anger, and began to rely on man instead of God. They thought at that time, quote, we have everything we need in life. We don't need God anymore. Just look at everything we possess and have. Nothing can be taken away from us. It's ours, close quote. Brethren, does this reality seem even slightly familiar to what is going on today in our society in the year 2020? When Amos prophesied, it was around 80 BC, and we are talking about an incredibly large amount of time between Amos's time and our time. But things just seem to stay the same when it comes to our human nature. Amos was chosen by God as a simple farmer to deliver a unique, intriguing, and prophetic message to the people of Israel because God was going to exert his judgment on Israel. He had seen enough. The people of Israel thought they could do no wrong and can do everything right in their eyes. But the biggest mistake was made was the one Amos would write about in his book. Now, the book of Amos has 9 chapters, and I will skip the first 2 chapters and let you write them down on your notes for your own study. Amos 1 and Amos 2, because those introduce the nations which God will judge according to their sins, and it numbers all the transgressions made from all the nations during that time. We will be looking from chapter 3 on for the rest of the sermon and gather our message from these verses. Now, before turning to Scripture, I would like to give you some information regarding the word Amos itself. The name Amos comes from the Hebrew root Amas, which is spelled A-M-A-S, meaning to lift a burden, to carry. Also, it is Strong's Concordance number H5986, meaning Amos, and number G301, meaning Amos as well. Brethren, the literal concept of Amos and why he was brought into the world by God to prophesy to Israel was already embedded in his actual name. Amos would be the burden bearer of having to let Israel know what they had done and how God's judgment was near. Brethren, let's begin today's sermon in the book of Amos, chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. Amos chapter 3, verses 1 through 8, reading out of the King James Version. Hear this word that the Lord has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family which I brought up from the land of Egypt, saying, you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore I will punish you for all your iniquities. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Will a lion roar in the forest when he hath no prey? Will a young lion cry out of his den if he have taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin is for him? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city, and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in a city, and the Lord hath not done it? Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. The lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord God hath spoken, who can but prophesy? Brethren, the foundation for the prophecy from Amos to the people of Israel is set before us in these verses. Israel has clearly gone out of God's way to pursue their own self-interest at heart. They have decided that following man is far more important than following God. It is important to understand that God always chooses the people that need to deliver his message when the time is right. Israel was already in iniquity, in sin, and in undoing everything that God had prospered them, until the time was right for God to choose Amos to deliver an important message. Let's continue now in Amos 3, this time reading verses 10 through 14. Amos 3, verses 10 through 14. It says, for they know not to do right, says the Lord, who store up violence and robbery in their palaces. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, an adversary they shall be even round about the land. And he shall bring down thy strength from thee, and thy palaces shall be spoiled. Thus saith the Lord, as the shepherd taketh out of the mouth of the lion two legs, or a piece of an ear, so shall the children of Israel be taken out that dwell in Samaria in the corner of a bed, and in Damascus in a couch. Hear ye, and testify in the house of Jacob, says the Lord God, the God of hosts, that in the day that I shall visit the transgressions of Israel upon him, I will also visit the altars of Bethel, and the horns of the altar shall be cut off and fall to the ground. Brethren, God is clear on what he intends to do with Israel. It is clear that not everyone from Israel will be safe from the wrath of God and from his punishment for all Israelites living in and out of physical Israel. God establishes this warning through Amos because it is time for Israel to acknowledge what it has done wrong during all this time. God also relays in his message that Israel no longer knows what to do right. It has been so corrupted that literally all they knew what to do is everything opposite from God's word, and that is to transgress the law established by God for them. God blessed Israel tremendously, but not even all of the chapter 4 and pick up a few verses there. Amos chapter 4, beginning in verse 1 and 2. It says, "Hear this word, ye kind of Bashan, that are in the mountain of Samaria, which oppress the poor, which crush the needy, which say to their masters, bring and let us drink. The Lord God hath sworn by his holiness that, lo, the day shall come upon you. He will take you away with hooks, and your posterity with fish hooks." Dropping down to verses 7 through 10. "And also, I have withholden the rain from you, when there were yet 3 months to the harvest. And I caused it to rain upon one city, and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and the piece whereupon it rained not withered. So two or three cities wandered unto one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet have ye not returned unto me, says the Lord. I have smitten you with blasting and mildew, when your gardens and your vineyards and your fig trees and your olive trees increased, the palmer worm devoured them. Yet have ye not returned unto me, says the Lord. I have sent among you the pestilence after the manner of Egypt. Your young men have I slain with the sword, and have taken away your horses, and I have made the stink of your camps to come up to your nostrils. Yet have ye not returned unto me, says the Lord." And finally, dropping down to verses 12 and 13, "Therefore, this will I do unto thee, O Israel, and because I will do this unto thee, prepare to meet thy God, O Israel. For lo, he that formeth the mountains, createth the winds, and declareth unto man what is his thought, that maketh the morning darkness, and treadeth upon the high places of the earth, the Lord, the God of hosts, is his name." Brethren, God reveals in these verses all of the things that he had done to Israel, all of the negative things that happened in the land of Israel. Yet nothing happened on the part of Israel to repent at all. They just continued with their lives. They continued to engage in sin. They continued to live as they wanted to live, and completely forgot about God. Therefore, God used Amos to deliver the message, reminding Israel where they had come from, and that it was not in their own power and will that delivered them unto their new land away from Egypt, but it was God. Israel's problem was that it became increasingly complacent and dependent on their own knowledge and imperfect knowledge, that is, mankind's, rather than rely on God. The nation of Israel was in their own comfort zone, and it was made out of the abundance of grace God showed them. They believed just because they had everything that they could just live on without any help from the Almighty Creator. Brethren, this definitely sounds like something the world is going through today, isn't it? The powerful nations around the world, filled with vast amounts of wealth, riches, abundant crops, and strong economies, all think they are immune to what is going on around them, and that they do not need God at all for their help or need. Mankind, just as a human nature that he believes, once all is achieved in life, that nothing needs to be done to maintain itself in a divine way. This is the biggest problem of all with what Amos also had to deal in his time on this earth. Let's turn to Amos chapter 5 and pick up a few verses there as well. Amos chapter chapter 5, beginning in verse 3 and 4. Here Amos is writing about the time that God will pass judgment on Israel for their transgressions. It says, "For thus saith the Lord God, the city that went out by 1,000 shall leave 100, and that which went forth by 100 shall leave 10 to the house of Israel. For thus says the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek you me, and you shall live." Dropping down to verses 6 through 8. "Seek the Lord, and you shall live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph, and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. You who turn judgment to wormwood and leave off righteousness in the earth, seek him that maketh the seven stars and Orion, and turneth the shadow of death into the morning, and maketh the day dark with night, that calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. The Lord is his name." Brethren, the instructions from God to Israel are clear. There needs to be repentance on the part of the people in order for God to forgive their sins, their iniquities, and the people needed to be drawn to God because of all the evil that was going on in that time. And God needed to remind Israel through all of its afflictions just who was their helper in times of need. Let's continue now in verses 14 through 15 here in Amos chapter 5. "Seek good and not evil, that you may live. And so the Lord, the God of hosts, shall be with you, as you have spoken. Hate the evil, and love the good, and establish judgment in the gate. It may be that the Lord God of hosts will be gracious unto the remnant of Joseph." And dropping down to verses 24 through 27. "But let judgment run down as waters, and righteousness as a mighty stream. Have you offered unto me sacrifices and offerings in the wilderness 40 years, O house of Israel? But you have borne the tabernacle of your Moloch and Chion your images, the star of your God, which you made to yourselves. Therefore I will cause you to go into captivity beyond Damascus, says the Lord, whose name is the God of hosts." Brethren, God gave specific instructions and words to the people of Israel of what he was going to do. There could be nothing at that point that Israel could do that could inevitably derail the plans and judgment God already had placed on them. Also, everything that Israel was doing in the name of God was in vain, because their heart was just simply not on God 100%. Their hearts were divided between pleasing man and pleasing God. Now, brethren, I will skip chapter 6, a short chapter with only 14 verses, if you could put it down in your notes. This chapter is basically talking about Israel gloating for everything it has been able to achieve, quote-unquote, on its own, and God delivering a message that a nation rise up against Israel. Let's continue here in the book of Amos, chapter 7. This chapter relates the story of when God showed Amos everything that was done and going to be done unto Israel for not forgetting their ways. It also demonstrates an interesting concept that shows the relationship between God and Amos. Let's begin in Amos chapter 7, verses 1 through 8. Amos chapter 7, verses 1 through 8. It says, "Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, he formed grasshoppers in the beginning of the shooting up of the latter growth. And lo, it was the latter growth after the king's mowings. And it came to pass that when they had made an end of eating the grass of the land, then I said, O Lord God, forgive, I beseech thee, by whom shall Jacob arise? For he is small. The Lord repented for this. It shall not be, says the Lord. Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, the Lord God called to contend by fire, and it devoured the great deep, and did eat up a part. Then said I, O Lord God, cease. I beseech thee, by whom shall Jacob arise? For he is small. The Lord repented for this. This also shall not be, says the Lord God. Thus he showed me, and behold, the Lord stood upon a wall made by a plumb line, with a plumb line in his hand. And the Lord said unto me, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a plumb line. Then said the Lord, behold, I will set a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not again pass by them anymore. Brethren, this conversation between God and Amos is truly unique. We hear of three distinct events God will use against the people of Israel through the use of a plague of grasshoppers, fire from the heavens, and the plumb line. Yet, Amos was able to talk to God, and he chose Amos to do this part for a reason. Amos was a humble herdsman all his life, and his heart was pure. God chooses the simple things of the earth to give us purpose, brethren. Amos was the epitome of how to conduct oneself unto God, and we should all take on that example, just as he did before God, because he was chosen by the Almighty God for a divine purpose. The heart and intention of Amos was pure, and we should also strive for this very purpose as well, brethren. Let's look at verses 14 and 15 here in Amos 7 and read of the time when Amos gave the prophecy that Jeroboam would die by the sword and Israel would go into captivity. Amos 7, 14 and 15. It says, "Then answered Amos and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was a herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock. And the Lord said unto me, Go, prophesy unto my people Israel." Here we see the explanation from Amos to Amaziah about his role in prophesying what is to come to the people of Israel. Naturally, the people were in shock and could not believe something like that could happen to Israel. Of course, they were in denial of what was to come of them due to the prophecy Amos gave them. Even through all of these warnings and words from Amos through God, Israel would not heed the call to what they needed to do to redeem themselves. Let's continue in the book of Amos, this time chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, and read about what God had already in mind to do to the people of Israel for their transgressions, with an analogy. Amos chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. It says, "Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, a basket of summer fruit. And he said, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then said the Lord unto me, the end is come upon my people of Israel. I will not again pass by them any more." And dropping down to verses 7 through 12, it says, "The Lord has sworn by the excellency of Jacob, surely I will never forget of their works. Shall not the land tremble for this, and everyone mourn that dwelleth therein? And it shall rise up wholly as a flood, and it shall be cast out and drowned, as by the flood of Egypt. And it shall come to pass in that day, says the Lord God, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the clear day, and I will turn your feasts into mourning, and all your songs into lamentation. And I will bring up sackcloth upon all loins, and baldness upon every head. And I will make it as the mourning of an only son, and the end thereof as a bitter day. Behold, the days come, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it." Brethren, the events laid out by Amos proclaim what the Lord God had in store for Israel. By the time Israel will want to seek out God, it would already be too late, because the effects of God's judgment are based on the spiritual side of understanding God's knowledge and truth. And Israel would not be able to find any wisdom or knowledge of what they needed to do. They would lack the guidance needed to sustain their relationship with God. However, God always provides the solution for any problem we have in life. And the problem Israel had is no exception. Let's look at Amos chapter 9, verses 8 through 11. Amos chapter 9, verses 8 through 11. It says, "Behold, the eyes of the Lord God are upon the sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it off the face of the earth, saving that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, says the Lord. For lo, I will command, and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations, like corn in a sifted in a sieve. Yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, which say, the evil shall not overtake nor prevent us. In that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and close up the breaches thereof. And I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it, as in the days of old." Brethren, it is clear and evident that God hates sin, but loves his people. Israel had gone down into the dark path of engaging in sinful behaviors, letting themselves be led by man, idols instead of trusting their life to God. God eliminated the worst part of Israel, but would not completely destroy it, because the foundation had to be rebuilt in order to restore the house of David. The same concept and lesson can be applied to us today, brethren. The life lesson we are trying to learn is that God wants us to turn away from evil ways, evil thoughts, and anything that contradicts His Word and Holy Scriptures, because life will always present strenuous circumstances that are beyond our control. However, we cannot be complacent in our behavior at all, because God expects us to be in His path every single day and not take days off for anything or any time. Our emphasis needs to be on allowing ourselves to be led by God's Holy Spirit. In the same way Amos was led by God, even though he was not a prophet, nor a prophet's son. Amos was a simple herdman that believed in God and delivered an important message, not just to the people of Israel as a warning, but to all of us to apply in our daily lives. Let us also be as Amos and deliver the message from God to all, and put into practice our role as Christians for the betterment of our spiritual relationship with God. That does conclude my message for today. I will turn services over to Mr. Fleming for a closing song and introduction of the closing prayer. Mr. Fleming.